Who needs Edge Guy? I don't need Edge Guy. Fuck it. It's the Mike Minotti Show.
Mike Minotti Show. Mike Minotti Show. Mike Minotti Show. Mike Minotti Show. Michael Minotti. Michael Minotti. Michael Minotti. Michael Minotti. Mike Minotti Show. Mike Minotti Show. Mike Minotti Show. Mike Minotti Show. Michael Minotti. Michael Minotti. Michael Minotti. Michael Minotti.
Hello and welcome to the Mike Minotti Show for June 16th. See, this is why I need AJ here, because I got the month wrong. For May 16th. Yeah, it's May. I actually looked at my calendar. How sad is that? May 16th, 2012. This is Mike Minotti, and I am joined by nobody. It is only me. That's right. AJ's gone. He's in Oklahoma, I think, or something. I don't know. It's not. No one cares. It doesn't matter. It's just me, though. That's the important thing. And I'm going to be doing the podcast, formerly known as the Exploding Barrel Podcast, solo. Just me. Mike Minotti Show. I don't even have a format. I just wrote down some things. Basically, I copy and pasted news items from the internet. I pandered to people on Twitter for questions. And, yeah. It's just Mike Minotti today. So, I'm going to go through this list of things I stole from websites, and I don't want to regurgitate them, but you know, I might have some insights on them. Maybe not. Maybe I will just read exactly what they already posted. It'll be fascinating radio. Here we go. So, a bunch of games have been delayed. Basically, a bunch of games that were supposed to come out for the fourth quarter of this year, aka, you know, that holiday fall season, they've all been delayed to next year for that first quarter. Just delayed a little bit, but delayed enough that they're going to miss the incredibly important holiday season. So what's been delayed? The biggest one is Bioshock Infinite. That is very big. Personally disappointing, because, you know, I saw that game at last E3, and it looked amazing then. Apparently they're not even going to have it at E3 this year now, which is actually almost more upsetting to me, because I signed up to go visit the 2K booth. Or whoever's making that game, and I'm going to go there now, and God knows what I'm going to see now. I thought I was going to get Bioshock Infinite, but Christ, I don't know. What else do they make? Are they making the XCOM game that I don't know anything about? So maybe I'll see XCOM. Yeah, whoop-dee-doo. So I won't be seeing Bioshock Infinite at E3, and I won't be playing it this year either. So that's going to become a giant quarter one release for 2013 now. Joining it is the Tomb Raider reboot that everyone was all excited about last E3, the one that kind of looked like more Uncharted-y, with the younger Lara Croft, kind of darker, and Lara Croft was all dirty. That was like the main thing everyone could say about it, like, look how dirty Lara Croft is, it's kind of creepy. But that's been delayed till the first quarter of 2013 also, and the South Park game, being made by Obsidian, also delayed from fall to quarter one 2013, a shame. Because that game looks good, and also because I think they desperately need revenue over at THQ. So hopefully they're still around 2013. So it's kind of interesting, because I'm trying to think, what are the big fall games now? The Last of Us, which is, it's a big Sony game, the Naughty Dog game. We don't know if that's coming out this year or not. That might be a quarter one 2013 release also. So, I don't know what Sony's big fall game is. I guess they have Sony PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, or PAPSPR, as I like to call it. So, that'll be one thing for them. Microsoft will have Halo 4, that Fable Kinect game nobody wants. And, you know, they'll both have the Call of Duty game. It's looking a little sparse right now. Unless I'm forgetting something. I might be. There's no one here to tell me, though. So I'm just going to assume that this fall is going to be kind of abysmal. Especially compared to last fall when we had Assassin's Creed. Oh, speaking of... That's right. There we go. Assassin's Creed 3. That's a big one. That's actually probably the The game coming out this fall I am looking the most forward to now, assuming Last of Us doesn't come out. Although, to be fair, Last of Us is a new IP, and I'm looking forward to it, but as far as, like, hype goes, like, I'm kind of looking more forward to Assassin's Creed 3, because it's the colonial Assassin's Creed game I always wanted. But yeah, I'm not feeling fall here. It might be a little... I mean, the big thing is we're going to have the new Nintendo system, which could be good or bad. I assume they're going to have something big launch with it. The only problem is, I feel like it's going to be a 2D Mario game, which is fine. But the 2D Mario games, they're kind of cute. You know, they're fun, they're nostalgic. They're even well-designed, but, you know, it's like, yeah, this is cool. This is like a game I played in 1991. It looks prettier. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with that, but, I mean, I'm not going to be, like, counting down the days till new Super Mario Brothers, whatever it will be. What, like the fourth one? Because they're already making one for the 3DS. And you know, they're not going to have a Zelda... I mean, I assume they're not going to have a Zelda game out on the Wii U already. They just released Skyward Sword. I would be excited if it was Mario Galaxy 3. I still hope it might be. Then I'll be looking forward to the Wii U launch. But I don't know. They got to dig up some franchises. We haven't had Star Fox in a while, right? Put a Star Fox game on there. F-Zero also. Haven't had an F-Zero in a long time. I mean... I don't know how pumped that would be for a new F-Zero anymore. Same thing with Star Fox. I mean, we all love Star Fox 64, but it's been kind of downhill for that series ever since then. But, you know, they got to launch with something, right? I mean, the Wii had a Zelda game. I mean, it was kind of borrowed from the GameCube, but still, it launched with the Zelda game. It was a big deal. I hope they don't GameCube the launch where the biggest game is Luigi's Mansion, which is fun, but, you know, it was Luigi's Mansion. Yeah, that and Super Monkey Ball. Back when Super Monkey Ball was a big deal, it wasn't like a throwaway game that was released on every gimmicky system you could possibly imagine. Did they make one for the Vita yet? I'd be surprised if they haven't made a Super Monkey Ball for the Vita yet. It seems mandatory. Okay, so let's move on. Capcom is apparently going to revise its DLC strategy to include less content on disc at launch. Or at least they're thinking about doing it. This is a quote from the Senior Vice President, Christian Svensson from Capcom. "We would like to assure you that we have been listening to your comments, and as such, have begun the process of reevaluating how much additional game content is delivered in the future." Well, that's nice of them. Because a lot of people are mad that there was all that DLC that was on the disc. Like, I don't know how... I don't know if Capcom's really being serious here, if this is kind of like... You know, like, hey, calm down, we're looking into it, maybe. Oh, you guys are mad, maybe we'll change it, maybe not. So 38 Studios, Kurt Schilling's company, the guys who made the Reckoning game, Kingdoms of Amalur, which everyone seemed to like okay. I liked it okay, I really had very little passion for it, though. You know, I think I played, like, a few hours of it, and I was like, yeah, this is kind of cool. But, you know, I went back to, like, Skyrim after a while. I mean, the problem with it is that it's fun, but the world is kind of generic. It's not that interesting. It's very typical fantasy stuff. I mean, it was cool that it was basically a fast-paced Skyrim, but you kind of got over that. Like, there's nothing wrong with that game. It's, you know, the definition of a 7 or an 8. But I thought it did okay. I thought it sold pretty well for, you know, a new IP like that. But 38 Studios is in trouble. Apparently... Rhode Island, like the state of Rhode Island, gave them a giant $75 million loan to move to Providence in the first place. And now 38 Studios is, like, you know, losing money. And it's defaulting at that giant loan because it missed its last loan payment of $1.125 million. So that's bad for Rhode Island. They're a pretty tiny state, too. I imagine they probably need all that loan money back. So now they're calling, like, an emergency meeting over at Rhode Island. Like, the Rhode Island emergency meeting. What, like, they ring a bell? Like, everyone, come outside. We've got an emergency here. That one company in Rhode Island's going under. We cannot allow this. So, like, everyone comes inside and they go inside the state. I'll see, like, what? What's a 38 Studios? Kingdoms of what? We gave them how much money? Oh. So apparently they're going to try to work it out so that 30th Studios stays open, which would be nice. I mean,
I'm a little... I assume that they're losing money because they're wasting it all on development of their MMO, which is a terrible idea. Very bad. Although I guess that was always kind of the plan or the dream was, like, we're going to make an Amalur MMO, and Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning is kind of like an introduction to that. Don't make an MMO with that generic fantasy world. That's a terrible idea. No one will like that. The Elder Scrolls Online is going to have trouble. Okay? And that is the franchise that you wish you were. You don't make an MMO. It is going to end in tears. You think you're in financial trouble now. Just stop development on it right now. Count your loss while you can. And I don't know. Make like a goddamn Amalur Facebook game or something. But don't make an MMO. It'll only end badly. So Street Fighter Cross Tekken has sold over 1 million units since launch, but Capcom apparently is sad because this didn't meet their internal expectations. Here's a quote from Capcom in their earnings release. Sales of Street Fighter Cross Tekken have fallen short of our plan. Yeah, I just fucking said that. We believe one of the causes is cannibalism because of the large number of other games in this genre that were launched within a short time. So yeah. Disappointingly, it doesn't actually mean human cannibalism. The reason why Street Fighter Cross Tekken isn't doing so good is because people are eating each other. Well, yeah, that would hurt any fighter, naturally. How can you be expected to sell your fighting game when people are eating each other? That's just not good for business. But no, they mean a lot of fighting games are coming out now. Which is partially their fault because Street Fighter 4 was so successful and they keep making Street Fighter games. And, you know, like, re-releasing them as many times as they possibly can. So... I mean, I don't know why they expected Street Fighter Cross Tekken to sell much more than 1 million units at this point. That seems pretty reasonable to me. I mean, how much did like Tekken 6 sell? Probably not much more than 1 million copies, right? So how much do people really care about Tekken? Hey, I mean, you know, I think they got to reuse a lot of assets from Street Fighter 4 so they should be happy they sold as much as they did. And hey, you know, all that DLC money they probably made. Somebody finished Diablo 3 in 12 hours, or apparently some did it in 7 hours. I know this is, like, the first Diablo 3 story I'm doing, it's not really the most important one, but, you know, I'll get to the other stuff later, but, come on, guys, why are you gonna rush through Diablo 3? That sounds just awful. That sounds so... I actually just read somebody, I can't remember where I saw this, but it was, like, a quote. Somebody's, like, you know, rushing through Diablo 3 is like getting to sleep with the dream girl of, like, your fantasies, and, like, trying to finish as fast as possible. Guys, calm down. Take your time. Like, it's like, the game's not going away. You have it now. If you can, you know, actually get going and playing. So how about this? You know, a lot of game companies are losing money, but not Ubisoft, apparently. Apparently, they're making money. Their 2012 financial year was on the up. A bunch of boring numbers here. They're up 2.1%, so... Basically, thanks to Assassin's Creed continually to sell Monster from the People. I think some people don't realize how well Assassin's Creed sells. I feel like it's got to be like the most successful non-shooting genre out there right now. Rayman Origins was a surprise hit, and I guess the new Driver San Francisco game did okay. And their free-to-play title, The Settlers Online, that made $738.1 million alone. Well, maybe not alone. Maybe that was in conjunction with those other games you said. Okay, I'm sorry. Numbers are not my forte. So, but yeah, Ubisoft's doing okay. Square Enix also not doing too badly, thanks to Deus Ex Human Revolution and Final Fantasy 13 2. So they have a $75.9 million profit, which you gotta like at this point. You gotta take whatever profit you can, because everyone else is losing money. That's good, though. I bet we'll see another Deus Ex. I mean, I would like that, you know? I wouldn't mind if they released, like, another Deus Ex Human Revolution in a couple years. I really like that game, you know, minus the boss points that everyone hated. But other than that, I thought it was, as far as stealth game goes, like, the actual stealthy part of it, I thought it was really good in that regard. And I thought I liked that Jensa character. I thought the voice acting was pretty good. I mean, the characters, the face models were kind of ugly. I think it was also because it was, like, the first game I played right after L.A. Noir, so I was really used to, like, these incredible facial animations, and then I played Deus Ex Human Revolution, and I felt like I was playing, like, a game on the original Unreal Engine again, you know? Where, like, these mouths just kind of move up and down like puppets. That's not that bad, but, you know, you get my point. Okay, so the Australia's game retail chain, I guess they defaulted... And when they defaulted, they canceled all Diablo 3 pre-orders and refused to refund them. which sucks. Except Blizzard, like, kind of came in and said, hey, we'll refund them for you guys. So, I guess Blizzard saved the day. Thanks, Blizzard. Microsoft's Lionhead Studios is looking to hire multiplayer-level designers, specifically ones with a deep understanding of online multiplayer games. So thank God. Thank God they're looking for people that have an understanding of online multiplayer games. I was worried that they were going to hire a multiplayer level designer who had no understanding of online multiplayer games. That would have just been a disaster. Okay, Lion Studios, this is the Fable guys, so nightmare scenario here. They want to make a Fable MMO. Right? Like, that's kind of what we're thinking here. Wow, I mean, I love Skyrim and Elder Scroll games, and I'm opposed to them making an MMO. I don't like Fable. I think Fable's a joke. You want to make an MMO out of that? What, is it just going to be a game where everyone goes around and farts in each other's faces? You can do anything you want. As long as you want to fart in somebody's face, you have the freedom to go all across the world of Albion, farting on people's faces, and maybe doing a chicken dance. And some other stupid shit, because it's Fable. Oh god, that's just a bad idea. They'll do it, though. I mean, if it's not that, then what else could it be? Do they want to make... Like, what kind of multiplayer mode can you insert into a Fable game? I guess there's an off chance this isn't Fable. I doubt it, though. Right? I mean, what was the last non-Fable game Lionhead released? If any, was it Black and White 2? Like, since Fable 1 came out, they've only made Fable games, right? Fable 1, Fable 2, 3. They made that stupid Fable Heroes game that no one liked, and now they have their Kinect game coming out. Their masterpiece, I'm sure. Yeah, this is just terrible. Like, why is this happening now? We need more fantasy MMOs. Guys, we had enough of those 5 years ago. Don't make more. My god, Fable. That's not gonna end well at all. So Minecraft on the Xbox Live Arcade sold 1 million copies in 5 days. I think it's the best selling, or at least fastest selling, Xbox Live Arcade title ever. I mean, it's Minecraft, and incredibly popular game. Now it's on Microsoft Xbox 360. I don't know why I call it a Microsoft Xbox 360, as opposed to the non-Microsoft Xbox 360, I suppose. But, I don't know. I personally did not have very much interest in this, because I already own the PC version of Minecraft, and I guess this Xbox version is kind of, not as good. Doesn't have as many features. Although, supposedly, it eventually will get, like, all the normal features. But, it surprises me that, like, that many people don't think they have a PC that can run Minecraft. Because I think that game runs in Mac, right? So I imagine almost everyone at least has, like, something that could run Minecraft. That's not a very taxing game, is it? I mean, maybe it is more taxing than I think it is. Maybe I think it's not taxing just because, you know, it all looks all blocky. But maybe generating all those worlds and stuff is very hard. So maybe there's a lot of people who can't handle it with their PCs or Macs, and they crave the 360 version. I don't know. Maybe people just wanted a version that had achievements. Although I think Minecraft PC just has achievements built in, right? So I don't know. But hey, it's doing well, so good for them. GameStop is going to stop selling PSP titles at the smallest 25% of stores. If this story was never posted, I wonder if anyone would have noticed. Like, oh no, not PSP games. I can't believe they're only stopping at the 25% of stores. Why don't you stop it in all of them? Like, how many PSP games does a GameStop store sell in a month? Like, five? Like, what games would they sell? What would be a PSP game someone want to buy right now? Like, maybe somebody would be like, hey, there was that God of War game, right? Oh, wait, no, they re-released that for PS3, didn't they? So, I guess you wouldn't need that. Maybe somebody still wants Crisis Core, like Final Fantasy VII Crisis. I don't know. Just stop selling PSP games. No one cares. Sega lost money. You know, a lot of people lost money. Their best performing game was Mario & Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games, which sold 3.28 million copies. Maybe that's why Capcom was expecting Street Fighter Cross Tekken to sell more than a million copies. Because, you know, they're like, well, goddamn, Mario and Sonic at the London Olympic Games can sell 3.28 million copies. Yeah, you know, can't say anything for quality. I have never even played one of those games. I have not had any interest. Which is funny, because if I was a child, you told me there was a Mario and Sonic crossover game, I would have literally peed myself. But, you know, mini game collection, how sad. Sonic Generations did 1.85 million. That's sad that that sold more than Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. Virtual Tennis 4 sold a million copies? That's surprising. And then there's a bunch of other stuff. So, you know, Sega needs to make more money. I'm sure there'll be Sonic Generations 2 or something like that announced at E3. Did Sonic Episode 4 or Sonic 4 Episode 2 come out? Did that happen yet? I don't know who I'm asking because there's no one here. It's just me, Mike Minotti Show. But, I don't know. There was one review. It was Destructoid. It was Jim Sterling. He wasn't a huge fan of it. He had some problems with the level design or something. Alright, so the whole Dota kind of lawsuit between Valve and Blizzard, like, who owns Dota, it's over. Basically, Valve kind of won because Valve gets to keep the Dota trademark. And Blizzard's renaming Blizzard Dota to Blizzard All-Stars. Again, with the All-Stars. Everything's All-Stars. Sony, PlayStation All-Stars. Sonic, Sega, Sonic, Sega, Sonic, Sega, All-Stars. I don't know why. Yeah. But, so... So Dota 2 is still Dota 2. But Blizzard reserves the right for fans to use the trademark non-commercially. Doesn't that go without saying? Like, was Valve going to come after, like, the people who played Dota All-Stars on like, Warcraft 3 still? I don't understand. Yeah, sure. You go... Like, how much of a, like, throwaway is that? Like, Valve's like, yeah, if you want to feel like you won something in the legals, but yeah, we won't sue your fans for using the phrase Dota. Yeah, how nice of them. So yeah, Valve won that. World of Warcraft is holding steady at 10.2 million subscribers. You know, you hear a lot of talk that World of Warcraft's dying, and I talked about this a bit on the show before. It's not dying. Has it peaked? Yeah, it's peaked, probably. I'm sure they'll get some subscribers back when Pandaria comes out. Not a whole lot. I don't think their numbers went up a whole lot when Cataclysm even came out. Really, the expansions right now are just kind of helping to slow down the decline. How far will it go down to? And how long will it take? I don't know. I mean, it feels like it took quite a while for it to go from 11 million to 10.2 million. There's still probably at least a good 10 years in this thing. I know that sounds generous, but if in 10 years they still only have 5 million subscribers, it's still not bad. Because at this point, the only thing that I think would ever take people away from World of Warcraft would be Project Titan, right? That's their thing. The other Blizzard MMO. I feel like that's not the name of it. I want to say Project Titan. Maybe that is. But until then, World of Warcraft will be just fine, no matter how many Fable MMOs or Kingdoms of Amalur MMOs are released. Alright, I have some April NPD numbers. They're not really that exciting, so I don't know if I'm going to go into these too much, but $630.4 million was made during the month, which is a kind of startling 32% decrease over the same period last year. So yeah, everyone's losing money right now. Not looking good. I mean, this is what you have, because it's kind of a unique time right now, because one of the systems is basically all but dead, the Wii. And the PS3 and 360 they're old enough to have successors, according to, like, the old history of video game console life cycles, but they don't. So they kind of feel a little old and tired right now. I mean, a little bit, you know, not, obviously people are still fine with their 360s and their PS3s. I don't know if people are excited about them anymore. It's just, it is your game system. That's what you play games on. No one is going to just buy a 360 game because, like, I need a 360 game. People are going to buy a 360 game only if it's something they really want. But the number one seller for the month was actually Prototype 2. So probably not a great month when your bestseller is Prototype 2. Followed by Kinect Star Wars. Kinect Star Wars. So I guess we'll be seeing more crappy Kinect minigame collections. Like the announced Avengers Kinect game, hey? The announced. I don't think they have anything to show for that. I think they literally, like, after the Avengers made, like, a zillion dollars over its opening weekend, they're like, oh, crap, we don't have a game. How did we not have a game? We could be making so much money. It wouldn't even matter if it was bad. quick, we have to announce something. So they literally made a logo, and like they had an idea. It'll be like that Star Wars Kinect game, but with the Avengers. So they made a logo, and they sent out a press release. Like, look, we're announcing an Avengers Kinect game. So hold on, everyone. You can buy this soon. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 was number 3, really? That's still selling that well? Come on, guys. Don't you not care anymore? Doesn't everyone already have this game who wants it? Who the hell, like, waited till May? Like, I heard some good things about that Call of Duty thing. I'll check that out. You're a little late to the party there. Maybe these people, like lost their copies and they just need to get new ones? I don't know. It's not any cheaper now, right? It's still a $60 game. Why the hell are you buying it new still? Stop buying these. Tiger Woods, NBA 2K12, The Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings on 360 on number 6. Which I guess is good, although everything this month probably did pretty bad, so I don't know. 7, Mario Party 9, 8, Mass Effect 3, 9, Just Dance 3, and 10, MLB 12, The Show. Which is technically also a Vita game, so hey, I guess a Vita game got up there. I don't know how many of those copies sold were Vita versus PlayStation 3 versions. Did they even make a PSP version of this one? I assume not. I don't know what the point would be. Also, apparently, according to Kaz Hirai, Rage Racing, Sony has sold 1.8 million PlayStation Vitas so far. Which isn't really a whole lot of Vitas, to be honest. Like, let's keep in mind, Capcom's upset because they only sold just over a million copies of a game. This is a system. You gotta sell a lot of these systems. Like, if a game sold somehow a million copies on the Vita, which is like, oh, it did pretty good, good, that would be higher than 50% of the attachment rate for the system. And yeah, it's a new system, but, it came out in February, so this is like, three months, 2 months, so 2 million. If you multiply that, let's say 3 months. Ugh, I'm doing math in my head. This is terrible. Basically, it's not good. The outlook's not good. And I don't know what they're going to do. Because I don't think you can drop the price on it. I know that's what everyone says they need to do. Just drop the price on it. I feel like for what's inside of it, it should be worth $250. I know that's not a popular opinion. I think the system is worth $250. I think they're probably taking a hit on it already. For some reason, I feel like someone once told me that's not true. I don't know. But I don't know how much you can drop the price of the Vita. And I mean, everyone's like, oh, Nintendo did that and it was great. And Nintendo lost a lot of money because they did that. In the long term, it was probably the right thing to do. Because you're not going to sell 3DS games unless you sell 3DSs. And that's kind of the problem here. The 3DS had advantage, though, because they could make that money back with the 3DS games they're going to sell. Because you have your Mario Karts and... You know, that's really the big problem, is that Nintendo has this legacy of handheld properties, right? They have, like... They have Pokemon, and you have like Mario Kart, which is also a console game, but it's traditionally been a very good portable title. And you have like the Mario games are established as 2D portable games, and there's like a whole legacy of Zelda games on portable systems, stuff like that. But Pokemon is a big one. Sony has nothing like Pokemon. They have Monster Hunter, which is big in Japan, but now in Japan you have that on 3DS also, so that doesn't really matter anymore. But and it's just because and it's part of it is because they're not as established in the handheld front that they don't have a Pokemon. But Sony, they never really launched a brand for the PSP. They kind of came close with some stuff like Loco Roco and Patapon, but nothing that really was crazy big for them. Nothing that you could say, hey, we're gonna make a new Patapon, we're gonna sell 5 million copies for sure. There's nothing like that. The best they can do is they can take their PlayStation 3 brands, like Uncharted, like Resistance, and just make Vita versions and hope that people care. And the problem is a lot of time they don't care. Because they look at it and they say, well, this is like the B team version of this game. And they're like, oh, we'll just play the PlayStation 3 version. Or it's just not enough to get them to buy a new system. So that's my spiel on the Vita. So I don't they'll drop the price this year. I'm sure it's gonna hurt them though, and they're already hurting enough as a company. What else we have this month? Week. There's a new Assassin's Creed 3 trailer. It was the gameplay trailer, if you would. It looked cool. I enjoyed it. Connor ran around. There's this awesome part where Connor kind of like jumped through the window of a building and jumped out the other side. Which I wonder just how, like, how open is this going to be now? Are you going to be able to go inside every building? That seems unreasonable, right? That seems like it would take a lot of work. It would be cool, but I can't imagine that. I just imagine some rooms are open, and the only thing you can do is go out the other side of the room through a window. I don't think you can open a door and explore a house, but it's cool. Kind of helps the whole free running aspect of it. We saw him fighting a bear. We saw some really neat, like you could kind of go from one hit kill to one hit kill, like assassination to assassination. It kind of flowed very well. It all looked really good in the trailer. Will it work as well in the game? I hope, but who knows? Diablo 3 came out. I don't have Diablo 3 yet. I just don't have that yet, which is upsetting, but I've been busy, which is weird, because I used to not be busy, but now I'm a busy person all of a sudden. It used to be I would just play Diablo, I may have been one of those people who beat it in 12 hours that I was just criticizing earlier. That would have been me, but now I don't have Diablo 3 yet. I don't know why, but I was saying this before, I never got excited that Diablo 3 is coming out. I don't know if it was ever real to me. I don't know if it's still real to me that Diablo 3 is a thing that's out right now. Because I love Diablo 2. I played a hell of a lot of Diablo 2. I was a big fan of Diablo 2. Also, I was the first to beat it in my family. And among AJ's best friend. I beat it before him, too. He claims otherwise, but he's a liar. I was the first to beat Diablo 2. But I don't know why. It's just not real to me. I think part of the problem is that I discovered Super Monday Night Combat, which I love. Love. It's funny because I hated it at first. I think I even said on the show that I hated it. Because AJ was in the beta for Super Monday Night Combat. And I played it and was. I don't know if I was bad at it or if it was just unbalanced, but I felt like I was shooting like a bubble gun, Like a shot of bubbles and it wasn't hurting anybody. Everybody else had like bazookas. And I just died immediately. Like I said, I might have been terrible at it. Because the trick with Super Monday Night Combat is that you want to play it like a team-based shooter. Like, you want to play it like Team Fortress 2, right? Where, in Team Fortress 2, if you die, so what? Wait 5 seconds to respawn again. Doesn't matter. In fact, that's a play style for a lot of people. It's like, just be aggressive. If you die, so what? Just go for another run. In Super Monday Night Combat, if you die, not only are you out of the action for a while, but you're going to give the player who killed you money and experience, so it's bad. So basically, Super Monday Combat, it's a Dota game, or a MOBA, some people call it, or some people even call them ARTS, like an action real-time strategy. We have no clear classification for this genre, which is kind of confusing. But like Dota or League of Legends, you have lanes. They have to push bots down to get to the kind of the big Nexus or the Ancient or whatever you want to call it. In this case, it's the Money Ball, and then you have to destroy that. You have the turrets that kind of stand in for towers, and it's all very, it's a bit more strategic. It's not as strategic as those games because it's still a shooter in a lot of respects. You can't really gank people as you would in a Dota or something like that. But there's a jungle that has like creeps in it that you can kill for money. It's not like as elaborate as it would be. So it's kind of like a nice marriage of the two, because it's not quite as stressful as playing League of Legends. That's kind of the problem with those games, is that it is the most intimidating thing for a new player ever. Because everything's confusing, and you have no idea what to do. And League of Legends is a lot simpler than, like, Dota. I tried to play another round of Dota 2 recently, and I played a lot of League of Legends, but Dota 2 is so much more complicated. And it's literally scary, because people just insult you the entire time. Because they're mad. Because when you're bad at it, you waste an hour of their time. Because that's the average length of a Dota match. Monday Night Combat's only like 20 minutes. That's not as much investment of time. I'm fantastic at it, by the way. Oh, I'm so good. I wish AJ was here right now so I can just tell him how good I was. But yeah, I've like lost one match in my last 20. I am the best ever. You should all play with me so that you can get wins, because I will bring you the wins. Because I am fan-fucking-tastic at Super Monday Night Combat, man. Although I do wonder now, am I going to play Tribes Ascend anymore? I like Tribes Ascend, but I might like Super Monday Night Combat a little bit more. I mean, they're different. I don't know if I have it. I don't know how many of these free-to-play games that I like I can keep playing, like, at the same time. Right now, I'm all about the Super Monday Night Combat, though. It's hilarious, too, by the way. Like, you have, like, you remember the first Monday Night Combat, which was more of a... It was like, it's kind of like this, like, it tried to mix Dota and third-person shooter, but it also tried to mix tower defense stuff into it, which kind of didn't work, and they got rid of pretty much all of that in this one. But like I said, the commentary was funny in the first one, but in this one you have, like, a new commentary team. It's like, the commentary guy, Gigi, and then he has, like, his broadcast partner, who is, like, you know, an old Monday Night Combat veteran named Chip. And, like, you know, they just do their banter. And it's funny, but what's cool about it is that at the early levels, they do a lot of, I don't want to say tutorial, but they explain things. Like, they explain why you want to upgrade your skills. They explain what a certain, like, dropped item will do, like bacon. Bacon's a dropped item. They talk about how bacon will restore your health and blah, blah, blah. So they kind of explain the mechanics of the game very naturally and fun, and it's just while you're playing. And, you know, like I said, they're incredibly funny. But yeah, it works just like the League of Legends, where you have a free rotation of characters that'll be available at any time, and you can buy new ones with the credits you earn while playing, or you have to spend money and get them. I've been playing quite a bit. I still don't have enough to buy a character yet. But like I said, you know, you have... I mean, there's only 15 characters right now. I think, like, six or... like, almost half of them are free to play at any given time right now. So it's not too big a deal. But it's fun stuff. Alright, let me, I guess I asked everyone on Twitter for these questions. Let's see if they, delivered, or if I had to be angry and sad. Da-da-da. No, I got a few. These are the ones I do not have to kill. Alright, Lick Chan. He asked me, Diablo 3 launch sucks, right? Like I said, I don't know anything about it. I mean, I guess everyone's having troubles, right? One second, I'm asking for more questions on Twitter right now. Any more questions? Question mark. I'm recording now. This is some meta stuff right here if you're listening to this. Do-do-do. I like how I distracted myself in the middle of answering somebody's questions. Do-do-do. Hashtag Mike Minotti Show. Any more? I should specify gaming questions. Like, don't ask me, you know, the best way to cook eggs, because I don't give a shit. I want to answer your gaming questions. Where was I? Yeah, so, you know, basically the servers, well, Diablo 3, you need an internet connection at all times to play it, for no reason. For a single-player game. I guess a lot of people consider it kind of a multiplayer game. I do not want to play Diablo 3 multiplayer. Pretty much ever. I do it as a curiosity sometimes in 2. Like, oh, I can play with you. But it's a very unattractive way to play Diablo 3 to me. Because I just like to take my own pace with it. I like to go talk to all the townspeople. I like to read the story things. I like to go explore. When you're playing with a person, you kind of have to sit around, wait for them a lot of times. Like, they need to go back to the town and unload their inventory or get repairs done. But you don't necessarily have to. So you just go with them anyway. Just kind of stand around. It kind of doesn't really make any sense with the story either, usually. So I like to play it online. Offline. Not offline, single player, because you can't play it offline. But yeah, everyone's having troubles, because I guess Blizzard didn't know that their game was going to be popular. Because, you know, it's an untested IP, Diablo. Or maybe they did, and I don't know, maybe it was inevitable. Maybe Diablo 3 is just so popular, and they knew it was going to be that there was no way to have the server be ready for it, and this was going to happen. I guess they're fixed now, though, right? Everyone's playing Diablo now, because I keep seeing people talking about playing Diablo 3, so... But yeah, it was a rocky launch. Rocky launch. No one will talk about it a year from now, though. Rod Orchesky says, Sony predicts 10 million Vita units sold this year. Only 1.8 million sold to this point. What's it take to get there? So, I was kind of talking about this earlier. The price cut's going to happen. It'll help them sell Vitas. It's not going to help their bottom line. They're going to lose a lot of money doing that. And like I said, they can't really afford to lose very much. To the point where I almost wonder if they just won't do it because they would rather take a wash on the whole Vita thing than lose that much money on it. Maybe that sounds a little crazy, and I hope not, because I like my Vita, but... You know. If it comes to a point where we have to drop $100 from this thing, or $80, you know, if they want to make it a $180 machine like they did with the 3DS, or whatever the 3DS costs now... And if they were already losing money on the Vita while Nintendo was making money on the 3DS, then how much money are they going to lose on every Vita? they drop the price, it'll be $50. So that you have the $200 non-3G version, the $250 3G version, right? But really, the software is the issue here. And we'll find out at E3 what their plans are. I don't really know what's coming out right now. I think that Resistance game's coming out soon. Right? And Little Big Planet Racers, is that a Vita game or is that a PS3 game? I think that's a Vita game. They need more. They gotta figure something out. And they probably will. It'd be nice if they could get a Metal Gear Solid game on there again, right? I don't know how well those PSP Metal Gear Solid games did to be honest, but it can't hurt. If I was them, I would try to get Square Enix to remake some of the Final Fantasies on there. Oh, I guess they already are with 10, but I meant like 6, 7, 8, stuff like that. Again, that's kind of typical PSP stuff, though, isn't it? Like, we're going to remake games for it. I don't know. They need a Pokemon, basically, and that's a tall order. You can't just say you need a Pokemon. I mean not a Pokemon clone. You need something that is a portable franchise that sells millions and millions and millions of copies that you can build your platform around. Let's not forget, the Game Boy platform was kind of middling before Pokemon came out. Basically, Nintendo's handheld legacy right now is pretty much largely thanks to Pokemon. Would we have had a Game Boy Advance if Pokemon wasn't a big hit? Or Game Boy Color, even? Each one of, you know, ever since Pokemon came out in the original Game Boy, and the Game Boy is an old system by then, but all of a sudden there's a lot more interest in that brand again, so then you could do two more of them, and then you had the DS and everything like that. So, it's going to take something big. And I don't know, maybe the Vita can do okay, where it could be as good as the PSP, it could kind of be there, and it'll have some games, and it'll sell okay. But if they really want, like, a very successful machine, something that can compete with Nintendo, you gotta have franchises. And not just your existing ones. Alright, Jasmine, my co-worker, says, "Yo, Mike, why doesn't Diablo work?" in all caps. Well, I don't know. Like I said, their servers probably just suck. Although, I can't imagine that being the case. If anybody should have good servers, it should be Blizzard, right? They should be the king of servers. I read, there was something on Reddit where some guy claimed that he was going to hack. He's going to hack Blizzard so that this would happen. And everyone's like looking at it now, like, look, this guy said he would do it, and he did. I mean, that guy may have just been like, hey, I bet the game won't launch right because a lot of games don't launch right. And I'm going to say I'm going to cause it, and I'll get credit for it. I don't think that guy actually had anything to do with it. Drew Robbins says, why are you so much better than Agile? You know, I don't actually think about it. Like, is this something I accept? Like, I know I'm better than him. Why am I better than Ashguy, though? Well, I'm funnier than he is. More attractive, for sure. I'm better at video games than he is, which is kind of important because we do a video game podcast. My beard is better, for sure. Much better facial hair than he has, when he even has facial hair. So as he came and decided if he's going to or not. I'm doing a show by myself. I'd like to see him pull that off, huh? Nope. Who wants to hear the AJ Minotti show? Not me. But yeah, there's quite a few reasons. Those are just some of them. If I think of more, I'll let you know. And he also asked, do I ever miss the weekly Rock Band song updates? No, that was my least favorite part of the show ever. It's funny that we used to do that, like every week. Here's the new Rock Band songs. I didn't care then. Imagine how much I would care about that now. My friends recently were like, "Well, we're gonna play Rock Band again," and it was like doing a job. It was like working when I was playing it. It was on the bass, and I was just, shoot me! I don't want to pretend to play music anymore. This isn't my dream anymore. I don't want to be a rock star anymore. Just make it stop. Hey Nick, it's AJ. He says, how will their defenses be now? Well, their defenses won't work nearly as well as they would have worked when they had that turret. I'm sorry, that's a super Monday Night Combat joke. Me and him have been doing a lot of Monday Night Combat jokes where, you know, I told you there's two commentators in it. I'll be the one commentator, he'll be the other one. It's kind of like when we do Statler and Waldorf together, the Muppets, you know? It's very much like that. Like, the catchphrase of Super Monday Night Combat is, the rules have changed. rules have changed because, you know, it's different from Monday Night Combat. So the commentators, it's like they're under contract to say rules have changed as much as possible, and they have a lot of fun with that. Mackie Gary says, who won a fight, Max Payne or that dude from Dead to Rights? I don't know crap about Dead to Rights. I know nothing about it. I know the guy kind of... I know it's a game where you shoot things. So I'm going to go with Max Payne, I guess. No one objects. I'll take Max Payne over the... I mean, considering that you called him the dude from Dead to Rights, I assume he's not very memorable. I'm assuming he has a name, you just don't know it because he sucks, so... I mean, you know, Max Payne has the advantage of having his game named after him. So maybe if the guy from Dead to Rights was called Dead to Rights, maybe I would remember him more. I don't know. You gotta feel bad for Max Payne 3, right? I'm sure it'll do very well. It's getting reviewed very well, but like, you know, Diablo 3 came out, man. No one cares. You know, Max Payne, like, hey guys, it's the third installment to a series that we waited for this one for almost a decade. It's finally out. Oh, sweet. Yeah, Max Payne 3. Oh, we thought you meant Diablo. Oh, well, that came out too. Well, in that case, forget Max Payne 3. Because we don't care anymore, because we want Diablo more. That's what consumers are doing right now across America. Well, I think that's it. I think we have successfully gotten through the Mike Minar Show. I'm surprised that I actually got 45 minutes out of this shit. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm shocked this worked. Maybe it worked. Or maybe you all stopped listening 2 minutes ago because it was just intolerable to you. But, you know, whatever. I'm going to take my victory here. Thanks for listening to the formerly Exploding Barrel podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel and twitter.com/explodingbarrel. I wonder how mad AJ would be if I changed all those things to the Mike Minotti Show. Like, I just changed the group, like the Facebook group, to Mike Minotti Show. Also, go to iTunes Music Store and leave us a review, because it's greatly appreciated. It helps us out a whole lot. I mean, we deserve reviews. God, how long have we been doing this? Christ almighty. So leave us a goddamn review. Thanks for listening to the Mike Minotti Show. You guys like this. I mean, I don't know. It's just gone for another week. I could just do this again, or I could try to get a guest. We'll see. Fuck it.
Mike Minotti Show! Mike Minotti Show! Michael Minotti! Michael Minotti! Michael Minotti! Michael Minotti!